paid you to lay out?
Huh?
He lay out?
I ain't seen him. He might have a class.
I think so. Hey, how you?
All right, good.
Saturday night. It'll start Saturday evening with the couples banquet, and we will have a nursery for that.
showing. The Lord makes you reveal what his problem is when he goes for a very test, or that it may be a quick fix, or whatever it is. The Lord pray you that give it a comforting and give him more peace. Pray for Lake Red Clark and his surgery, Lord. Pray for Lady and Ligan and Lakeland. Everything may go well, and the mother and the baby might
encouraging. Your faithfulness to the Lord is my prayer all week, God. Help me to help your people and be a blessing to them. And I pray this evening will be. I know it's been to me and my heart, and I pray it will be yours as well. And if you would, though, let's go ahead and stand together. Exodus chapter number 5. We'll read just a couple of verses, to get us into it tonight. Exodus chapter number 5. You glad to hear, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You glad your team won championship, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's okay in the house, all right? Let's get to the Bible, all right? I'm just kidding. Verse 1. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says this. And afterward, okay, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. So here it is. You remember what we've been going through? You remember Moses? God protected Moses, the baby. And then you remember he came to Moses and called Moses when he was in the desert of Midian. And then you remember last week, we looked at 2 weeks ago, how God had to eliminate all the excuses that Moses gave of God, why I can't serve you. We had to eliminate all those excuses. Now here Moses is. He's doing what God called him to do. He's back in Egypt. And the Bible says Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, what did he say? Thus saith the who? Lord God of Israel. Now, that's important. This wasn't Moses' message. It was God's message. All right? Now look what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now, look at verse 2, if you will. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should say those next three words? See it? Who is God that I should obey his voice? Now look what he says. Who is God that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Tonight I'm going to preach and teach real quick on this idea of we better listen. We better listen. Let's pray. Father, will you help us right now in the next few moments? God, will you guide us in your word tonight? And Lord, there's so many things that can be said over these 6 chapters this evening. I pray that you'll help in my heart, Lord, that you'll make it simple to my mind and my mouth this evening, that it'll be simple to the hearts of the individuals that are here. And Lord, tonight we're at your table and we're hungry for you, and we want you to do something in our lives. So will you guide us in these next few moments? Open the eternal word to us, that we may behold wondrous things out of our all this evening, Lord Jesus. Will you help us tonight to lead more than ever, being sensitive to you and our life and soul, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Guide us now, we pray in your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now tonight, up in front of you, I have a piece of bread. Now this is a bread. A little bit ago, it was a frozen piece of bread. But if you ever, how many of you ever had kids, they'll get a piece of bread out of the bag and they leave it open. Has anybody else that ever happened? A whole expensive, that makes you mad when you buy the expensive bread. Amen. I don't care if you do that to the Walmart bread, but don't do that to the Wonder bread. Good night. But you know the truth about bread is this. If you take bread and you leave bread out and it begins service tonight. We're going to read these chapters, but I do want us to go through them. The first plague that happened, so Pharaoh and them come in and say, Pharaoh, God, Mary, Moses there come to Pharaoh and says, Pharaoh, God said, let my people go. He said, no, I'm not going to let my people go. And so what did God do? He began to send plagues. Now, the first plague was the Nile River turned to blood. The Nile River turned to blood. Moses and Pharaoh, they met outside on the Nile River after Pharaoh refuses to let God's people go. Moses takes his shaft. He smokes the water with the rod. They turn, the water turned to blood. The fish begin to die. Now, the magicians, Pharaoh's magicians, they replicated what Moses did. But I want you to look in verse 22, okay? Look in chapter 7, verse number 22. What verse is it in? Verse 22, look what the Bible says. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was what? Hardened. Neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. So the first plague, God said, okay, Pharaoh, you're not going to listen to me. I'm going to start easy. So God came out to the Nile River and turned it to blood. Now, why is this important? This is why. The Nile River, we're going to look at it in just a moment, was worshipped by the children of Israel, by the people of Egypt. It was worshipped by the people of Egypt. And the Nile River every year would have a mass flood there in Egypt, and it would offer life to all the crops and everything. So this river was a huge deal, and God started and said, okay, I'm going to get your attention. I'm going to turn the river that you call the river of life, I'm going to turn it into blood. Now, look at the second plague. They come in to Pharaoh again, said, Pharaoh, let my people go. He says no. So the next plague is the frogs. The frogs. Now, Aaron, this time, instead of Moses doing with the rod, Aaron stretches his rod over the streams, the ponds and rivers, and frogs begin to come up on the land, the houses, etc. Pharaoh calls for Moses to turn back the frogs, promising to let the people go. However, here's what happens. God kills all the frogs. They get rid of the frogs. Now look at verse number 15. Chapter number 8, verse number 15. Look what happens here in chapter 8. Look what happens next. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he, say those next three words, hardened his heart. Hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now I want you to watch the progress here, okay? Look up here, I want you to get on to this. The first plague, God comes, says, Pharaoh, let my people go. He said, no. So God turned the Nile River into blood in front of Pharaoh. And the Bible says, after that happened, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. In other words, he refused God. He rejected God. His heart was hardened. Then here in chapter 8, after the second plague, the frogs, the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. What does that mean? Pharaoh made a deliberate choice. I'm not going to do what God wants. And he, in choice, was making his own heart hardened. Now, if you will, I want you to look at the third thing. The third plague that happens, and by the way, boy, this is a bad one. We're getting ready to get personal as God moves on. The third plague was the lice. What do you mean about the lice? And please keep your Bibles down. But Aaron smites the dust with the rod, and out of the dust comes lice that infest the people. The magicians can't duplicate it. They declare that this is of God. But I want you to look at verse 19. Look at chapter 8, verse number 19. Look what happens here. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of who? You see that? And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So the first one was the Nile River turned to blood. They viewed as the river of life. The frogs, we're going to talk about just a little bit why it was important. The third one is lice. Now, what is this lice? I got to studying on this, and I've never had hair long enough. Well, I haven't had hair long enough 20 years to have lice. But you know what hair lice is? It's hard to see. It can jump around some. My understanding is this is maybe even smaller than that. How many of you know what centipede grass is? Y'all know what that is? How you walk in centipede grass, if you're not careful, if you got shorts on, you get them little black things in your leg. You won't see them, but you'll get to the house, and you'll be eating plum alive. I mean, you're like pouring alcohol on them, trying to kill them. And that is kind of the picture here, is when Aaron hit the dust, the lice came up and they began to infest everywhere and everybody except God's people. And they went and they said, Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, the judgment of God. We need to listen to these people. But he didn't. Look at number four. Number four. Number one, the Nile turns into blood, the frogs, the lice. Then number four is the flies. Now, when you think about flies, you say, Roger, well, that don't seem bad. But let's look, if you will, let me give you your statement, then we'll look at a couple verses here. The flies, God sends flies to cover the Egyptians only, separating and from protecting God's people. Pharaoh seeks to make compromises. Moses agrees, but then Pharaoh lies. And in verse 32, it says that his heart is hardened yet again. Now, why are these flies important? This is why, because God begins to make a distinction, okay? I want you to think about this. do in an effort to try to get Pharaoh's attention, now he begins to make a distinction between God's people that are listening to God's what?
Word.
And the people who are rejecting it. And it's over here, these people were swarmed, they were surrounded by flies, and these people here, the Bible says, they were totally separated, and God did not send the flies to them. And yet Pharaoh would not listen, so what happened? His heart gets harder. But now, here it is, God's getting ready to get down to business. Now, if you're still with me, say amen. I know that, hey, we got five more to go, okay, and then we're going to get to it, okay? Look at number five. Number five here is a livestock epidemic. A livestock epidemic. Now, a little bit of difference opinions here about these, but I want you to stay with me on this and watch what happens. God tells Pharaoh in verses 3 through 6 that all the cattle of the Egyptians in the field would be killed if he did not let the people, God's people, go so they can serve him. I want to just read it. Look at chapter 9, and I want to point out here some words to you. In verse number 3, the Bible says this: Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field. Okay? Now pay attention to that. I want you to look, because when you get to verse 9 and 19, you say, God, that's a contradiction in the Word of God. It's not a contradiction. It's God said, I'm going to kill all the cattle, verse 3, that are in the what? All the ones that are in the field. Pay attention to what the Bible teaches, okay? And in the field, and then it says, upon the horses, upon the asses, the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep, there shall be a very grievous murrain. Verse number 6, and the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. Now what happens here? So God comes down, he begins to take out their livestock, he takes out their livestock, but it says he doesn't kill the children of Israel's livestock. And so all the Egyptians that had their animals out in the field, God killed every one of them, but God's people, they're staying alive. Now we're moving on, number 6, if you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Look if you will. And number 6 is the boils. What do you mean? B-O-I-L-S. These were big like sores. But I want you to look how this starts, okay? Look how this starts. Chapter 9, I want you to look at verse number 8. Before we read, I want you to think about this. When we begin to reject God, God will come to us and try to help us. Will he not? He'll come try to help you. He won't leave you. He's not a bad God. He's not like you. That's not how God is. He tries to come help us. But I want you to look. Here God shifts gears. Look what he does in chapter 9, verse 3. Chapter 9, verse 3. Let me back up here with my glasses. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a bowl breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Now watch what happens here. With no warning at all, Moses cast ashes into the air, it turns to boil, and it affects all the Egyptians, even the magicians. Now what happened here? Let me picture this for you. So they get in, all the other plagues they went in, there was some type of warning here. Moses picks down and throws ashes up, and boils begin to break out all over all people's body, and these sores that are going away, even the magicians, they couldn't get rid of them, they couldn't get help. So this plague was spreading out through all the Egyptians, and even the magicians who had been trying, they actually turned water into blood at the first plague, but here they couldn't help it. There's nothing they could do. And then number 7, the 7th plague that God gets ready to unleash here is the leash of hail, H-A-I-L, H-A-I-L. Now, how big of a deal is this? I don't know if you remember this or not. I remember hearing something about it, but actually went out and looked, research and it's true. But in June the 22nd of 2003 in Aurora, Nebraska, there was a storm that came through there that summer. And during that storm, there were large ice blocks of hail that were falling. And some of those ice blocks, they measured. You bought it. It's incredible to study and look at. The size of those hail was 7 inches in diameter. Some of them were 18 inches in circumference. So the big blocks of hail. Why is it important for us to think like that? Because when you read what we're getting ready to read, you're going to say there's no way God could do that. But look what it says in verse number 19. Look what the Bible says. In chapter number 9, verse number 19, the Bible says this. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field shall not be brought home. The hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. Now think about this. And now in verse number 20, the Bible says something very interesting here. And listen, we're coming back to this in just a minute, but will you look at it with me, please? Chapter number 10, verse number 20. Chapter 10, verse number 20. You may be sitting there tonight, and you in your heart and mind, you have got to the place in your life where you have lost your respect. Listen, for God. Don't you look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. Look what the Bible says happens here. In verse number 20, but the Lord, what's that next word?
Pardon
Pharaoh's heart. So that he would not let the children of Israel go. You see that? Up to this point, other than one time, he had a choice in the matter. Now, God said, I turn the table. The remote's in my hand now, Pharaoh. And God begins to harden Pharaoh's heart. And so much, the Bible says, why did he do it? So that he would not let the children of Israel go. Before, he said, Pharaoh, I want you to let them go. What do you want to do? Now, God says, I'm going to harden your heart so that you will not obey me. And I want to say, we're getting to, listen, we'll go number 9. Let me get to number 9. I got to finish. Amen. I got to finish. All right? Somebody say amen. Number 9. Here's the 9th thing that happens. Darkness. What do you mean by darkness? We're going to look at this. This is a major, more major deal than what I've ever noticed. We're going to talk about what God just represents in just a moment. But with no warning at all, God brings total darkness over Egypt. God's people only had light in their homes, according to verse number 23. Pharaoh offers a deal to have their cattle, but Moses refuses. Pharaoh says, get away from me. And he says, hey, Moses, the next time I see you, you will die. And Moses says, Pharaoh, you don't have to worry about that. You won't see me no more. Why? Because God had already conveyed something to Moses. He'd already told him. And then I don't know what the conversation went as a whole, but it went something like this. Moses, I want you to go one more time. And you go tell him that the locusts are coming, and he's going to offer you a phony thing. Don't you take it, because I'm getting ready to show Pharaoh who's boss. And Moses went in knowing that Pharaoh was going to say no to God. He knew what was going to happen, but he went in anyway because God was showing favor unto Moses and helping use Moses to lift himself up in the destruction of Pharaoh. But Moses knew what was going to happen, and God said, I'm going to harden your heart, Pharaoh, so that you will not listen. Now, what happens here? This man's heart became hard, and I want to tell you, it teaches us some lessons. It teaches us some lessons, and I don't want to share these real quick. Man, we did good getting through that in 12 minutes, I think. And if you're still breathing tonight, say amen. I'm looking for my sweat rag. Number one, what do we learn from this? Hey, tonight, if you ain't asleep, wake up. Amen. Number one, here it is. He shows us the reason that we don't listen. He shows us the reason that we don't listen. Now, Pharaoh did not listen to God because he was not convinced, listen, that God was worthy and worshiped other gods, including himself. Why did Pharaoh not listen to God when God came and said, Pharaoh, let my people go? Why did he not listen? Because Pharaoh didn't think God was worthy of his worship. He worshiped other gods, mainly himself. And I want to say tonight, you know why I don't listen to God? You know why you don't listen to God? It's because we're not convinced that he is worthy. We may have the knowledge, hey, Pharaoh said I'm sorry several times, but he never meant it. Why? Because in his heart he wasn't convinced that God was worthy. So why did God have to go through these plagues? This is why. Because each plague tonight was an attempt from God to show Pharaoh that he is God and God alone, and there is no other God beside him. So each of these plagues was important because it was God attacking one of their false beliefs. The Nile River was worshipped by them that he turned to blood. The frog was important because it represented a god of fertility worshipped by the Egyptians. The lice plague was important because they worshipped the soil. Number four, the bulls, they were worshipped as gods when God destroyed the livestock. The bulls were directed toward the god Isis, by the way, I think that's interesting, or the goddess of healing. But the bulls was attacking that god. The hail plague was against the god Nut, the sky god that they worshipped. The locust plague was against the god Seth, the protector of their crops, as they believed this god protected their crops. The darkness was against the sun god Re. Why? Because what was God doing? God was showing Pharaoh, I am God. I am the one that you need to follow. I am the one you need to fear and respect. And listen to me, y'all. There is nothing in this world or anywhere else that is worthy of our honor and worship more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, my marriage is worthy of doing the Jesus way. My my money is worthy of doing it the way Jesus says. And what was God trying to show Pharaoh? He was trying to show Pharaoh, I am God. And as he began to deal with these plagues, he was eliminating something that the Egyptians trusted in and believed in and leaned on. And God was trying to show him, I am God. But look at the number two. Look at number two right here. Look at number two. If you're still breathing, say, I'm here. Number two, what's this? Not only does it show us why we don't listen, but it tells us this, that God always warns a person. God always warns a person. I want you to think just a moment. God did not destroy Pharaoh the first time he said no, but he warned him multiple ways. What ways? If you're taking notes, you can jot these down. First of all, through his own word, through God's word. God said Moses and Aaron in there. Listen, Moses and Aaron, they were God's representative. They were speaking God's word to Pharaoh. And God was warning Pharaoh through his word. Moses said, Pharaoh, you better let my people go. You don't want to deal with God. You don't want to mess with God. But he would not listen. And God warned through his word. But the second way he warned them is this. He warned through his circumstances. Each plague brought trouble to Pharaoh that should have caused him to step back and see that he was wrong. Should have caused him to step back and see that he was wrong. Are you staying real joy tonight that God bring circumstances into our life to get our attention? I'm telling you tonight, I believe God's got enough he can do it just like that. True story. There's a man that we saw come to the Lord and get saved. And him and his wife, his kids got to church, were doing great. He was growing. And he got away from God in his heart. And he started skipping church. Things that weren't as important as God in his life. Now I want to tell you, there's nothing wrong with hunting. Nothing wrong with fishing. Nothing wrong with playing golf. Nothing wrong with any of those things. Stay with me. One morning, he was out on a Sunday morning. And he came and said, I'm going. I don't think it's what you think. I said, you need to do what the Holy Spirit is teaching you. You're saved. There is no level. Where's God in your life? I can tell you what the Bible says, but you've got to think for yourself. Anyway, he said that that morning he got up, he went out, he got the boat in the tournament. He got the boat in his tournament. He said, God, I feel like I'm not doing right here. You know, I'm doing anything. And he gets in his boat and he takes off. And he said, when he came out of the gate, he was going almost 70 miles per hour. I've never been that fast in a boat. 70 miles per hour on flat water. He said, out of nowhere, his boat, his big wheelie, popped him out of his boat, and he landed in the middle of the river. And as he was sitting in the middle of the river, his body, he said, started selling into hypothermia. It was a late fall, water was real cold, and he was laying there looking up, and he said, God, if you will help me, God, I'm listening. And no time after that, another fisherman came by, saw him, picked him up, and he said, you don't need to go get your boat? And he said, no, I want you to take me back to my truck. So he got his truck, listen, came to church that morning, walked in the door. He walked in, the preacher was preaching on Jonah. Yeah. Invitation time, he was on the altar. Listen, got invited to the Lord. What do you mean? Here's what I mean. God speaks to us in circumstances. I'm going to tell you, God will get our attention. He knows how to get my attention. He knows what's important to me. He knows what's important to you. He knows how to get our attention. He knows how to come to us. And he tried in Pharaoh's life. I tell you how else he tried. He tried through his own people. Once you look at chapter 10. Look at chapter 10, verse 7, if you will, with me. Chapter 10, verse 7. Would you look what happens here? Exodus chapter 10, verse 7. The Bible says this. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how that he may take away from me this death only. Now, after the plague of the locusts, we see Pharaoh again. And I want to say that Pharaoh said, I have sinned, forgive me, take this away. But he didn't mean it in his heart. Why? Because he had not come to the place where he was ready to be submissive to Christ. Now, what is real faith? It's being fully persuaded in my mind. Repentance is absolutely persuaded. And when a person is ready to get right with God, they are ready to do what God will do. And if a person says I'm right with God and they're not, they are not right with God biblically. Stay with me biblically. And you may be a preacher and say, yeah, that was okay, but we don't measure our life by preachers. We measure by the Word of God. Amen. And the Bible here shows us a man with false pretenses, and God can see in his heart. I want you to look at number four, though. I want you to look at number four. And I want to say this. By the way, before we read this, we got 6 minutes and it ain't going to take that long. I want you to look at this. This is one of the differences right here tonight. Because a lot of people ask, even membership class. By the way, pray for our membership class in a couple weeks. We have several new families that are excited. Can't wait. Stay with it. Somebody said, what's the difference between the Baptist Church? We believe that the Bible teaches that God can harden your heart to the point where you become hopeless. Jesus said, my spirit will not always strive with man. In Hebrews 4:7, he said, you beware. You beware. You beware. That you be hardened through your heart by the deceitfulness of sin. He says, hear his voice and harden not your hearts. And then he says in Timothy, we just went through in Sunday school, as did Manius and Alexander, has been these men who were spiritual leaders in the church who were hardened by God, made shipwreck of their faith. We believe the Bible is very clear on that. If you were here Sunday night, I mentioned another passage where he said, you better continue in the faith. Why? Because it's real, and in God is real. Amen? Now, I want you to look what happens here in number four. I want to say this. God's destruction is never his fault. But those who refuse to listen. Those who refuse to listen. Before I read the verses, I want to make a statement here. Right before I read the verses, I want to make a statement. I want to read the verses. I'm going to say comment and we'll close. Well, what do we ever imagine? That's something that means, okay? In my life and in your life, never get out of it. God is going to be glorified in my life. And he is going to be glorified in your life. And whether or not we listen to him will determine it will be by blessings, or Romans says, by destruction. Now we're looking at a man who God brought glory to himself. But you say, Brother Joey, Pharaoh rejected God. He did. But God was still going to be glorified. You know why? Because God was getting ready to show Pharaoh who his boss. And when he got done, we'll see next week, then people didn't walk away from there saying, Moses is the man. They walked away from there saying, Moses, your God, he's the real man. He has glorified himself by destroying Pharaoh. And God, listen to this. You hear me when I pray God glory. God's going to be glorified in my life, but is it going to be because he's blessing my life or because it becomes a mess? Because God is going to be lifted up. God is going to be noticed in my life and in your life. People are going to notice God either by him blessing me in my life or by him bringing destruction on that life. And I want you to look what happens in chapter 10, verse number 20. Look what the Bible says in chapter 10, verse number 20. The Bible says, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, said he would not let the children of Israel go. Verse number 27, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. God was now continually hardening Pharaoh's heart, but it started with Pharaoh, understand, hardening his own heart by rejecting God's warning. Now, I don't know how long this happened, but I am so glad tonight that God comes to us and he warns us. He warns us that sin brings danger. He warns us not obeying him is dangerous in our life. He will warn us, but understand, when we receive the fruits of that life, when we receive what that brings into our life, it's not his fault, my friend. It is our fault. Why? Because we rejected his voice. Now, if you see it right there, you say amen. It's so simple. So elementary. Elementary. That our God so glad for it even in my own life. When I'm disobedient to you, you are very merciful to me and long-suffering and patient, and you wait. Well, we don't know for sure how long you were working in your favor, but we know that it was less than a year, but it was several months. Lord, you were trying to deal with him. You were trying to help this man. You were trying to speak to him. But he continued to say no in his life. God, I pray tonight, while we're not all that we need to be, we're not all that we know we want to be, help us to be yielded to you and to listen to you. God, allow you to humble our hearts and work in our hearts and help us to be teachable before you, Jesus, that you can teach us how to be like you. Live in your joy and live in your strength. God, we thank you for the word of God. And next week, as we see the key, Lord, the key to having a blessed life, I pray that you'll use it, Lord, and you'll use it in my life, in the life of everyone here. Lord, we can be a blessed people by your hand and your power.